56 now.
An earthquake hits Southern California, but don't panic if you have friends or family there near the Los Angeles airport anyway, LAX, because it didn't register more than 5.0. A little bit of a shake on the ground. Californians are used to it. It's not 7.0. 7.0, we'd be talking about a much different scenario there. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. By the way, that happened a couple of hours ago in California. Meanwhile, the rest of us, if you notice, you head into another Monday, you might be filling up your car with gas. If you've been paying more for your petrol, I bet you have. Pretty much average across the United States, gas has shot up 25 cents in the last 3 weeks. You know what? It's so hard to complain, though, because you think of where gas was a year ago, a year and a half ago. And I'm telling you, I really thought we were going to hit that $5 mark, and that did not happen. So the average across the U.S. is $2.30. What are you paying at the pumps? You can always check in with us. Shoot us an email at americatonight.net or 800-259-5791. Here's what I'm more curious about. Are you starting to care about it? Are you starting to notice? Because let's face it, I say that this is a show, America Tonight, for those with ADD, and I think almost all of us are affected by ADD, because so many things in our lives zoom past us so quickly. Rarely have I met anyone where they are calm, cool, collected, and relaxed. They're not trying to calm down their kids, pick up five different kids from five different practices, juggle a couple of different businesses, run here, run there, and everywhere in between, and oh yeah, make the meals. So usually when I fill up, I don't know why this is, and I guess it's just something I've always noticed, people to me in the last probably, I want to say 3 or 4 years, look a little more harried. More things are happening to us. So that's why I think that all of us have kind of a little bit of this ADD. So the bottom line is, I'm wondering if you are noticing that you're paying a little bit more. Because the end of April, you know, is just slightly over $2. So now here you are, $2.30 or so. The highest price for gasoline, I think, that I seem to find, and you may be able to dispute this, America, you might have a higher price than this, you might have a lower price. The highest one that I could find was $2.63 in Chicago. The lowest I found was in Phoenix, $1.99. Mm-hmm. $1.99. So still under $2 there. Chicago, boy, they always get socked. They always have higher prices than most other cities across the United States. Now, Los Angeles, same thing. Most parts of California, San Francisco, maybe some of the smaller cities, not quite as bad. But it's over $2. It's at $2.30. And I've just started to notice it, you know, regardless. And I'm wondering if you're noticing it, or it's like, eh, who cares? You know, we were almost at $4, so two and change, it's not going to kill me, it's not going to break me. Talk to me when it's up over $3 again, because we have this short-term memory. So what will happen is if it shoots up way past $3, then everybody will be complaining. See, if you keep it below $3, I think if it's below $3, then most people will kind of forget about it. You know, the whole cry about, we have to now, we've got to get Vespas and smart cars, and we have to figure out a way to preserve the petro because we can't afford it anymore. It's cutting into our other budgets. That all died down when gas zoomed below $2. But I think there's a high water mark. I've talked about this before in the show where the alarm goes off for most people. And it might be around the $3. If it's under $3, conversation, but not that panic. Remember, there was a whole push about, we got to be greener. Got to be greener. Got to get those ethanol plants going. It's going to take us at least a decade, but if we don't start doing it now and start building these plants, and we don't start changing the cars up, we're not going to be able to keep up with what we need to do to make America greener, smarter, cheaper as far as cars are concerned. But, of course, producing ethanol now, not a cheap deal. One, the cars aren't equipped for it. There's not enough plants. And the availability. So, obviously, all those questions still out there. And I know people are pursuing it. But do you kind of let off the gas, pardon the pun, when gas goes down? Think about it, right? In the meantime, a lot of flap over Obama speaking to Notre Dame. Now, this time around at ASU, he didn't get an honorary degree. And Notre Dame, he did receive an honorary degree. And that's part of the problem. There were protesters who didn't like the fact that Barack Obama was giving the commencement address. But it wasn't so much about him giving the commencement address. It was more about that little thing called the honorary degree. So isn't it strange? A couple days previous, I think it was Friday, he gives the Friday or Thursday, he gives the speech at ASU. And they don't give him the degree because they say he hasn't earned it. He hasn't done enough in his lifetime. He goes to Notre Dame and he gets the honorary degree, but much to the chagrin of a lot of alums and even some current students, because it's a Catholic university. And that does not wash with Catholicism. When I say that does not wash, I'm talking about Barack Obama's stance on abortion, the pro-choice stance. It doesn't, again, it's not anything at all that's accepted in Catholicism. So occasionally there were people that yelled things out throughout his speech, a couple of little protesters, nothing really big. 40 or so were arrested, but it wasn't giant. It wasn't a giant protest, but enough that there were people that were beforehand that were calling and complaining and saying it's ridiculous that he's getting this degree. And if he wasn't getting the degree part of it, we would leave this alone. Because then if he's speaking, okay, that's fine. And, of course, because of the protests over it, it becomes a part of the speech. It becomes a part of what he ultimately, you know, not the big part, but the starting point of what Obama talks about. Now, normally would that have been what he would have talked about, and the answer is, well, no, of course not. I mean, should Obama have received a degree from a Catholic college? Because does that imply in any way, I don't know, maybe I'm all wet in this, doesn't it kind of imply that he's in agreement with the church? And, of course, it's not that you have to attend a Roman Catholic church, but you'd have to believe in sort of essentially the same things, I would think, and he certainly isn't in sync when it comes to the abortion issue with Catholicism and with the church, obviously. So there were protests. It was expected, but it could have been worse, and it wasn't as bad as, I guess, as bad as it could have been. And ultimately, because of that, Obama brings up the abortion issue right from the get-go and tells the Notre Dame grads, and we're going to let you hear this coming up on the flip side, but tells the Notre Dame grads to seek common ground with their peers on some tough issues like the abortion issue. We're going to let you hear his words about keeping an open mind on abortion. That is coming up next on ATN.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you one dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. 406-251-3270 today.
Understand, class of 2009, I do not suggest that the debate surrounding abortion can or should go away. Because no matter how much we may want to fudge it, indeed, while we know that the views of most Americans on the subject are complex and even contradictory, the fact is that at some level, the views of the two camps are irreconcilable. Each side will continue to make its case to the public with passion and conviction. But surely we can do so without reducing those with differing views to caricature. That's when we begin to say, maybe we won't agree on abortion, but we can still agree that this heart-wrenching decision for any woman is not made casual. It has both moral and spiritual dimensions. So let us work together to reduce the number of women seeking abortions. Let's reduce unintended pregnancies. Let's make adoption more available. Let's provide care and support for women who do carry their children to term.
And here's the, this is where it gets a little bit blurry for me. That's why I bring it up here on America Tonight. And of course, lots of people have been talking about it. There's been controversy since it was first announced and a couple of weeks ago talking about the fact that he was getting the honorary degree. But he accepts the invitation to go to the Fightin' Irish's grounds, right? To deliver the commencement address and get the degree. And then and you heard the piece there, then he speaks to Catholics about abortion. And he says, and you heard it right there, open hearts, open minds, fair-minded words. Well, and seeking common ground on the issue and all that sort of stuff. And you heard the end part, and I thought that was great. Abortion, not about abortion, about adoptions. And then, of course, the thing saying reducing the amount of abortions. Okay, I get that. But the problem is, if we're talking about we're talking about the abortion issue, where there is really not a lot of gray area in this, other than if we really broke it down to what if somebody was raped and all those other kinds of things. And you're addressing Catholics. I mean, that's a Catholic university. So approaching the debate with open hearts, I'm going to call kind of foul on that one. In most cases, and especially if you're saying fair-minded, I don't see how there's fair-mindedness in this. And you talk about, again, policies on abortion. Because you're going to have, there's no gray area. You have hardcore one side, hardcore the other side. And they're just pushing the case public. But you're not going to come, I don't believe, you're going to meet any kind of common ground on this one. You talk about compromises and everything else, but I don't see a compromise in this. Do you see a compromise in this? It's one way or the other. Either you have the legalized right to an abortion or you don't. And we have Roe v. Wade. And we have, obviously, in this country, the choice of abortion or not. And what is the in-between in this one? What is the open-minded discussion or whatever? What is that? I mean, the right, the wrong, the moral choice, the how you feel, all that sort of stuff, that obviously now is the individual's choice. Whoever seeks to have an abortion or thought they were seeking to have an abortion and then decided against it, or whatever. So the bottom line is, it's talking about tolerance and being tolerant of your fellow man is one thing, but talking about finding the common ground, I just don't see where you find the common ground in this discussion. I mean, I could say that in a lot of other thorny issues. But I don't see where there is any place that you can split this in half. So the, I don't know, the follower, the clawback from Notre Dame, I would think, would have been much bigger. Because calling for understanding at a Catholic university, So there were people that heckled. And they were screaming things like abortion is murder and stop killing babies and all that sort of stuff. But I'll say it again, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. The way it was building up because of all of the emails and all the calls and all that other sort of stuff to the university, it seemed like there would be a much bigger protest. And in fact, there wasn't. So the clawback, or whatever you want to call it, for Obama wasn't as bad as I thought that it would be. But at the same time, I mean, man, what a bogus choice. And the bogus choice in the sense, I think, to give him the honorary degree. I mean, hey, one thing, you have the president come and speak. And so then, of course, because the issue becomes about abortion, then that becomes part of the commencement address. Please. And there's been a shift. And this is the interesting thing. There's been a shift on abortion in this country, which, wow, it's stunning, the reversal, if you believe what you hear in the polls. And the polls show that more people, and, you know, you can talk about culture and politics and backgrounds and all that stuff, but most people are either, you know, I mean, it seems, either fall into this the right for an abortion or the right to not have an abortion, right? I mean, I even think when you label pro-choice and pro-life, it's kind of mislabeling. But you want to talk about labels that are sticky. You know, I said this earlier, in 95, Gallup started asking the question about abortion, and that question was split 56-33 in favor of abortion rights. Now 51 say they are pro-life. Only 42% say pro-choice. There is a big shift here. There's been personal convictions that have been shifted, I would assume, right? Because for 35 years, a big bulk of Americans have wanted abortions to be legal. but also with some sort of limitations. I would throw that in there. Jeez. So how about that? What's changed ultimately? What's made the difference? Is it because fewer Republicans? Is it, you know, what is it? Why are we seeing this switch ultimately? And like I said, to me, not that they had Obama come and speak because he's the president of the United States, but because of the honorary degree. But I think that's how most people probably feel. I mean, give me a break. Mark is listening to us in New York. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Kate, I have a quick question. And, you know, of course, the president's coming to a university, so you can't, well, you don't want to turn him down. But like you said, it's a Catholic university. Somehow I understand, people can differ in their views, but this is something that I think some way left on a spectrum like Obama when it comes like to self-defense. So just bear with me. If you got a woman that's having a child, okay,
mm-hmm.
She wants to, you know, have an abortion. Why mm-hmm. does the people on the left, when if someone commits a crime against you, they fight like the Dickens for them not to have the death penalty, even if they know that individual is guilty. So if someone assaults you, they fight for his right to live. They fight right. against your right to self-defense, whether it's, you know, my issue is always gun self-defense. But wait, before you roll your eyes, they don't want you to defend yourself against a criminal that comes at you prior to the act or during the act. And after the act, the crime is committed, they fight for him to have, not to have a death penalty, even if he's completely guilty. But when it comes to choice, they said freedom of choice, if they're all right with, you know, they want to save the life of a criminal before he attacks you, don't mm-hmm. fight back. They don't want mm-hmm. to give them the death penalty. But when it comes to a child, the innocent one, they're all right with killing that child. I mean, look, I'm for liberty 100%. So I'm very, mm-hmm. very – it's difficult for me because I don't want to tell a woman. You always hear me say, look, leave me – like, right, exactly. And I had a good friend who's a Catholic. He's got a seminary. And he goes, Mark, you can't have it. I know how difficult it is. If it's conceived and it's a child right there – you know, if you have an abortion, it's murder. And it's so difficult for me as someone always sticks up for liberty and says, look, I'm not going to tell somebody else what to do. I don't mm-hmm. want to tell a woman. So we had, mm-hmm. with me and my good Catholic friend, we had to agree to disagree. But this president, even if he's veto funding for a fetus that is surviving abortion, okay, mm-hmm. he can't have it both ways, but we're letting him have it both ways. And I think it would have been justified if they had turned him down. But it mm-hmm. goes on and on and on. He says one thing and he does another. And John Lott wrote the book Freedomnomics to counter a book called Freakonomics. Abortions lead to kill children that are not supported after they stay here. You know, after abortion, more abortions lead to the kids that are not supported.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is very true. There are statistics that bear that out. Mark, thanks. You have a great morning. 800-259-5791. He makes some good points and similar to what I was saying about this issue. Hang with us.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of your child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing. Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades.
Hello, I'm Dan Bass-Majan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created the Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy, your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-849-6863. That's 888-849-6863. Call 888-849-6863.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me. I will write you a song.
We're talking about Barack Obama and his commencement address at Notre Dame. Hey, everybody. Kate, hanging with you here on ATN. This is our first one out of the chute. Have an interesting week coming up ahead of us, and we have a big giveaway, too. I mentioned it. I'll give you more details as they unfold, I promise. But we're giving away, basically, somebody is going to win a GPS system along with a backup camera. And I have it. I have it in my possession. And I'll give you all the details coming up in the next couple of days. You know, we talked about Obama, and to me, I think the biggest problem was if you follow what the Catholic Church is, and that's what Notre Dame is, I mean, you know, they've got to go to church, they have religious classes, all that sort of stuff, like any other religious institution. And certainly the tenets of the Catholic Church do not fit Barack Obama's stance on abortion. But put that aside, he's the president, of course, as I said before. You're going to have the president of the United States give a commencement address? I mean, yeah, absolutely. But it gets controversial when you decide to give him the honorary degree. Then you have the controversy, and then the commencement address becomes about the abortion issue. And as I said, how do you, what he told the kids about keeping open-minded, there's really no hedging, as Mark said in his argument with his buddy. It really is no hedging in this one. From strictly the point of view, you either are for the woman's right or you're not for the woman's right. And I agree with Mark. It is very tough to tell somebody what to do, since I agree for a less government interaction and you're more of a right to choose anything that you want to do in your life. I mean, that's the great thing about living in the United States. But it just doesn't, if you take the Notre Dame thing alone, it just doesn't fit into the scenario. And to me, it just, the idea of there's the place where they dropped the ball, because there's where you wouldn't want to do the honorary degree thing, particularly when it's so obvious. Again, there are a couple of thorny issues, right? And there's one of them on the silver platter, and it became part of the commencement address. I mean, that's the thing. You're sending these people off into the future, and there's a million things in that you could talk about. And usually it doesn't center around that, but it had to, because it was controversial, just like when Obama was at ASU and didn't get the honorary degree. That also became a little bit of the punchline in the speech that he was delivering. But the atmosphere a little more jovial at ASU versus starting off with what he started off with at Notre Dame. You might agree, or maybe you don't agree. I think I'm all wet on this one. 800-259-5791. But I'll tell you, to me, this is the blunder of the day, the story that I heard about. You know, multiple sclerosis is just a horrible disease that affects people. Sometimes people are lucky, and I say lucky, they get the symptoms and they treat it, and there's things that you can do. I did a series one time on MS, and I learned a lot about the disease, and there are some amazing strides they've made, the scientific community, in trying to help people with MS, but it's a tough thing to deal with. And sometimes when you're riddled with it so bad, you have a hard time walking even. And there was a 62-year-old grandmother who has a dog that she has to rely on to help her, since she only has control of half of her body. And so she's in a mall with her granddaughter and is helping to shop for a bridal gown or bridal things, whatever. And so they kicked her out of the store because of the dog, because of the service animal. So, you know, here's the thing. What they were saying, they didn't want the dog touching the dresses, and apparently he wasn't hurting anyone or doing any of that. But that's a horrible thing for this poor woman to have to deal with. I mean, it is a form of discrimination, right? And it just brings back that whole thing of, you see someone in a wheelchair, you see him with a dog, you got to be thinking that, you know, and this is a service animal. You got to be thinking, okay, this woman's in the wheelchair. She comes in here. She's with her young granddaughter. Something's not right here. I might not realize that she has whatever disease it is. And I realize this, that when you use an animal in public like that, when you have what they call the service animals, that's protected under law. So if somebody denies you entrance into a store or whatever because of that, you could get massive fines for it. And this woman, her name's Gloria Troutman, and this happened to happen in Dallas, Texas, but she says that all she wants is an apology and just a little bit of sympathy. And it brings up an interesting point of not jumping to conclusions or jumping the gun before you really know what something's about. I mean, have you ever been in a store where you've seen this? I've been in a store, I've seen it. I've seen blind people, and I've never seen them get kicked out of the store, but it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. The few times I've seen it, the people in the stores that I've been in bend over backwards usually to help whoever it is. So shame on the people in that mall and for turning this woman away, and more than hurting her feelings, just, I think, kind of humiliating her in front of the other people that were there in the store. And there she was going to just buy a dress with her granddaughter. So I think the audience might react to this. I don't think they're going to applaud. I think they're going to boo. Yeah. That's a boo. Hey, anybody can bungle something up, but that store, too, I'll tell you what, they should absolutely apologize. There's no question. It's ridiculous not to apologize, particularly when they know they could be fined anyway. So let's face it. It'd probably be the smart move on their part anyway, right? But they weren't smart the first time around. And like I said, it's easy to not understand what's going on, to see that and be kind of confused by what you're seeing. But, you know, when I first got out of school, I worked in retail, and you see all kinds of things. Why not ask questions rather than jump to the assumption? And that whole thing probably could have been avoided. There was probably some other way to handle that, so give me a break. In the meantime, when we're talking about Obama speaking at Notre Dame, and of course the other big story still on the enhanced interrogation techniques and the photos, the flip-flop, last week there was two flip-flops, one on the photos was the big one. The week before that, of course, we had the flyover flip-flop, and now we have Nancy Pelosi with the 10 different stories of what was she informed about. And see, this is the problem. If you're gonna get on the soapbox and you're gonna pound and you're gonna pounce on what happened during Bush's administration and saying that this is outrageous, it's not right, we don't do this, da 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 da, let's have these hearings, these investigations, then you got to make sure that your own backyard is clean. And Pelosi was briefed in 2002, and what she knows or what she didn't know or blah, 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 in a way you could say, well, who gives a crap, that happened before? But you have to care a little bit, because the CIA is starting to not like the fact that in the past 3 weeks, even before that, they're like persona non grata. They're the punching bag of all kinds of people. Well, it's your fault about the memos, and shouldn't we prosecute the people involved, and all that other sort of stuff, when they were told, here's the legal memo, here's the legalities of this, whether we could debate the merits of that or not, but the actual persons who meted it out, I mean, give me a break. And so now this is twice that the CIA has been thrown under the bus, and you've got people that don't want to work for the organization anymore. That's when it's bad. That's when they know that they're chumming the waters. And how can you work as in a spook organization where there are dicey gray areas anyway? How can you work and feel confident that someone has your back if you're constantly getting thrown under the wheels of the bus? And that's the problem with the Pelosi deal. When she said that they lied, they misled, all that other sort of stuff, well, that was under the Bush administration, that's when we were misleading everyone, all that. Uh-uh. And she just shouldn't have done that. And so now I think she may get her comeuppance. I ultimately don't think she's going to resign as Speaker of the House, but let's see what these so-called truth hearings reveal, because that's now what the new cry is. There's always a different word for it, but this time what they're calling it, basically, I should say, intelligence panels. And maybe these panels or committees are going to determine who's zooming who, who's being truthful here and who's not being truthful, because Pelosi, heading into the weekend, accused the CIA of lying to Congress. And then ultimately, Leon Panetta came forward, or I should say, not came forward, but he released, sent a memo to his people in response to hearing that the CIA records weren't truthful, that the people at the CIA weren't truthful. So, of course, he had to come forward and say something. Meanwhile, on the Sunday shows, the Democratic National Committee Chairman, Tim Kaine, defended the Speaker of the House, saying that the party absolutely has faith in her leadership and her job is secure. Her job is secure unless they find something in the memos that specifically says she was told about waterboarding. If they can find some specific things addressing that, I don't know. I think she has too many friends that'll keep her in the high place, but I don't think this is the end of it. Let's put it that way. And I don't think it should be the end of it, do you? 800-259-5791. You're listening to ATN.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Ioniczone.com sells virus, bacteria, and mold-killing products that will protect you and your loved ones from airborne pathogens, biological threats, chemtrails, you name it. For instance, Ioniczone sells their patented ozone generators from $279, digital water ozonators from $135, and UVC dual-lamp induct air sanitizers from $279. Ioniczone also sells highly effective alternative health products. For instance, Jim Humble's revolutionary internal virus-killing invention, MMS, Miracle Mineral Solution, Canada's Nurse Reen Cases, Asiax-T, naturopath-recommended Super Zeolite for heavy metal detox, even an ozone handheld bidet. If you're interested in natural healing, you'll love what Ionic Zone has to offer. Ionic Zone also offers free home business opportunities that will make you well over $1,000 a month. Call Mike, toll free at 1-800-549-9535 to inquire, or go to ioniczone.com.
Recharged and ready for the week ahead. Kate hanging out with you here on these airwaves, America Tonight. Got a ton of email. We'll get to that, I promise. AmericaTonight.net. A lot of you still sounding off on Pelosi because it gets more interesting. You know, this is like a soap opera where you finally have some meat. And the meat is the fact that you have the Speaker of the House on Thursday who said in a room full of reporters that, you know, she wasn't informed about the whole waterboarding thing. And then you had someone yell out, hey, just to be clear, because I think people were stunned at this press conference. I was stunned when I turned it on. And the reporter said, you're accusing the CIA of lying to you in September of 2002. And, of course, Pelosi said, yes, misleading the Congress of the United States, I am. Now, the deal is, enhanced interrogation techniques. Waterboarding is the thing that everybody has now, especially Now, this is high-stakes poker with waterboarding being the card that a lot of people are drawing. Is it face-up or what? Is it the river card for Nancy Pelosi? I don't know. So Pelosi is calling for this truth commission to look at the legality of the tactics and whether the people who justified the tactics and went ahead and did the enhanced interrogation techniques, whether they should be held accountable. Remember, that was the big push. So it's kind of one of those things, be careful what you wish for, because it might not be what you really want in the end. How many Democrats, and this made me think of this with the whole Pelosi thing, how many Democrats do you think were briefed about the tactics and they didn't complain over the last 7 years? Certainly Pelosi wasn't the only one. I mean, at the time, she was the top Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, and she was supposedly briefed about what was happening to Zebediah and the background on all that stuff. And now, what's the significance, by the way, of Zebediah? He's a deputy to Osama bin Laden. So how many times was he waterboarded? 83. And she says she was never told specifically about that. So who's right, who's wrong, who's zooming who, all that sort of stuff. The bottom line is she put herself in this position to be the center of attention for the last 5 days in Washington. And I think she's, like I said before, you know that old song about having friends in high places, sometimes they can bail you out. Well, she has the people that can bail her out, but will they do it? So this has been dogging her for weeks. I mean, for weeks. And then finally, when the Obama folks decide not to release the hundreds of photos of detainees that were intimidated, etc., and somewhat tortured in those photographs, certainly. I mean, you had a bunch of punk kids that were doing that. But, I mean, regardless if they were punk kids or not, we know the reaction initially the first time around when those photos were released. So Pelosi is the person who has drawn the line in the sand. And, I mean, this is politics at its best. And now the GOP has a reason to be like a rabid dog and go after this. And I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. So the CIA front and center, and she's certainly has put them there. And that's the key. Will other things come to light, and will she back off of this or pursue this? And, you know, hey, what does Congress decide to do? What should Congress do? I mean, there's your other part of this. Congress, should they move forward and do this full force investigation or try to declassify some more of these memos? Say, okay, it's on. I mean, you know that old expression, bring it on. It's on, baby. And I think it is on. And I think there will be a push for that. So this isn't going to go away anytime soon. So unfortunately, here on these airwaves, I mean, it's not going to be all Pelosi all the time, but we're not going to back off the Pelosi story, certainly. Hey, speaking of not backing off, check this out. They're saying now, in, you know, all that stuff with the Somalia pirates, they're saying now that there are some new ways to stop the pirates. Well, some of them we know. We've talked about them. We talked about that one Navy ship. But Somalia is saying that they've got a new Coast Guard that can stop the whole pirate stuff that's been happening. Because remember, this is still going on. It hasn't gone away. Just because the U.S. had its ship attacked and we had the hero captain and all that stuff, it doesn't mean that there's no danger. Of course there's danger. But Somalia's government is appealing for some kind of help to set up this Coast Guard, because they're saying that they're guaranteeing there wouldn't be any more piracy if they could do that. And they need a, you know, they might need this multinational naval task force, and that they're helping and they're patrolling the Gulf of Aden, but they can't effectively control the pirates who strike unaware these merchant ships that come through and then tow them into these bases that they have. They need a Coast Guard, and that's true. They do need a Coast Guard, Because if you've got fishermen out there and you have other foreign ships and all that other sort of stuff, I mean, you do need a Coast Guard, right? But ultimately, with all these civil wars and no functioning government since 91, you have pirate gangs. I mean, you're talking about 1,900 miles long as far as the coastline and hijacking tons of ships for ransom worth millions and millions of dollars. Didn't we say that $150 million was what they made last year, an estimate of it could have been more, could have been a little bit less. But since May 15th, and this is May 15th, they have hijacked 29 ships and took 472 people hostage. Yeah, for this year. That's crazy. I mean, that's a crazy amount. You have 20,000 ships that go through that Gulf because it connects the Red Sea and the Indian Ocean. And right now, at least 19 ships, probably 250 people, sailors, whatever, held by the pirates, baby. Hmm. What must that be like? Got to fight back. And the country, could they use a Coast Guard? But the problem is, who ultimately would be in charge of the Coast Guard? The Somalia government. They say if they could get that support, they wouldn't have these pirates in the waters. But how do you guarantee that this government is going to stay up if you look at how they've folded in the past? And, you know, Somalia's got a Western-backed government. They got a new president in January. But that president doesn't have much control outside of Mogadishu. So what's going to scare these guys off so much if you come up with a Coast Guard uniform boat, all that sort of stuff, a couple of boats? I don't see it. There's not enough power there. There's nothing to back it up. So that means going to have to rely on the U.S., going to have to rely on the multinational form of trying to stop the Coast Guards, because it's in the, currently it's not going to work with that government. I mean, please, it's laughable, because who's going to pony up the money for that when they could fold like a cheap suit? Boom. There's wrinkles all over this thing. So in theory, nice try. Ultimately, going to have to rely on those other multinational naval task force patrolling that area until somebody figures up with some great way to completely halt these guys in their tracks. Because there's no concern about throwing those hooks over the ships. And if there's a better way, if there's a stronger way to fight back, and we've said them, we've suggested it on this show, and we've talked about it, some of the things that can be done, and I still think it's that private army deal that's the most effective at this point, don't you?